Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Every couple of weeks, every 2 weeks to be exact, we chat with founder and director of Synthesis, Jake Shepherd. We started a series 2 weeks ago called Loser Think Series, and we started talking about thinking like an engineer. Jake Shepherd, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I want to just take this opportunity to wish you, the Chai FM family and all the listeners, the Shana Tova. It's really... last day of the year.
You're the last guest on the morning show on the last day of the year. So with that comes immense responsibility, Jake. don't let it stress you or anything, but you know that this is it.
Maybe too much responsibility. So I'm going to rest on the shoulders of giants and other people who inspire me, I suppose, and hopefully in that way we can give over something of meaning and thought provoking.
Absolutely.
So in Scott Adams' book, in his book Loser Think, it's really about avoiding those ineffective ways of thinking and embracing far more productive alternatives. So we've discussed one or two other professions, and we started talking about an engineer. And I think this week I want to continue to explore what it means to think like an engineer.
I think what we can do is
given the fact that tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah, let's adopt and see how these ways of thinking can enrich and deepen our lives in the year ahead, because I think they really can. And after the program 2 weeks ago, a good friend and colleague of mine, Luke Mahowski, highlighted a whole bunch of additional engineering thinking approaches that I had ignored and hadn't discussed. And I think that they were incredibly important and they deserve to be unpacked. And that's really why I wanted to continue talking about an engineer. Let's start off by just admitting that engineers are very, very practical people. So they tend to deal with problems quite sensibly and realistically, where they focus on the practical rather than like theoretical considerations. And in other words, they're far more interested in the facts than they are about what should or could be the case, you know? And the philosophy maybe that sums this concept up is, and I've used it before often with clients, is to say, great is the enemy of good. And this sounds counterintuitive. I think it came out in response to Jim Robbins' book, Good to Great. Basically it sounds counterintuitive. What do you mean great is the enemy of good? Surely we always want to strive to be great and not just settle for good. An engineer actually interestingly knows that seeking perfection and insisting on perfection often means risking not getting a workable solution at all. A good example of this is in 2018, Tesla was first producing its Model 3, which is it's like mass market car for everybody. In order to bring down costs, Elon Musk had actually created the most automated car production process in the world. Like just robots everywhere, hardly a human in sight. But he then discovered that excessive automation, and it was actually specifically a whole set of convoluted conveyor belts, actually was introducing them into the manufacturing process was actually a mistake, because it landed up slowing down production, and he needed to get production up to a certain level to be profitable. And then he found that by introducing imperfect humans into the factory meant that the factory production actually became faster, because humans are far more flexible at dealing with little bit like these unexpected situations that crop up from time to time.
That's interesting. Whereas you would have thought exactly the opposite, that you just fully automate this and you're moving towards perfection.
The perfect system is the totally automated system, and he actually found out it's quite hard. I mean, he slept on the factory floor for months on end trying to solve the problems, and he realized actually we need some imperfect humans to be thrown into the mix. And I think like for Rosh Hashanah, we are encouraged to paint a picture of ourselves, like what it is we're trying to aspire to in the year ahead. And I want to say, let's use this idea of thinking like an engineer, good is good enough. Resist the temptation to aim for perfection. Now, we're all human. And yes, I agree. And I know that we all possess amazing potential and we can,
but just ask our mothers, right?
Yeah, exactly. But we can achieve that potential, and the only way we can achieve it is really one step at a time. So I think let's, during Rosh Hashanah, like aim to be a little bit better this year than the year that's gone past. Don't aim for perfection.
It's such an interesting thing, you know. Earlier on in our marriage, we had a couple who we were friendly with, who were also furnishing their home at the time, and or their apartment, whatever it was, and they were looking for a couch, but they couldn't find a couch because they needed the perfect couch. It had to have every single element that they had had on this checklist. And this went on for months upon months. And I remember saying to my wife at the time, and it's in fact become a metaphor even within our own family, between the two of us, that we would say, you know, let's not treat it like the couch. Because what I realized was in seeking the perfect couch, they had no couch. So they didn't have the opportunity to sit on anything because they were looking for this perfect couch.
Exactly what I read. When I read Steve Jobs' biography, there was that anecdote that he was a perfectionist, a total and utter perfectionist, that like all the Apple products had to be perfect. But his perfection pervaded everything, including couches.
Oh, that's so funny.
Including the furniture that had to be in his home, which was a mansion.
Wow.
And his entire mansion had no furniture.
For that same reason. That's very funny.
So that's not, in other words, they're not alone. Some of the most profound people are sitting on a couch.
Yeah.
Or with them, you know. And then I think the next thing engineers know is how important a good process is in achieving goals. So in the software world, there's an example of this process, of a process called test-driven development, TDD. And really the ultimate goal of test-driven development is to produce high-quality software. So what this process does is it makes that the software testing becomes the primary focus of the output of the software development practice. And so even though these software tests are actually not part of the shipped solution, they become the primary artifact. And the reason is because these tests are run every time the software is updated and changed. And by running these tests all the time, you find that the bugs, the things that undermine the quality of the software, are caught early on, and actually software quality improves as a result. So this whole concept of like focusing on process is highlighted by Scott Adams when he says a very controversial statement: goals are for losers. And he says instead of goals, rather use systems. In other words, what he's saying is trust the process. So let's say I have a goal to lose 10 kilos, which I quite clearly do have that as a goal. But don't just stop at that goal. Ask yourself the question, what system do I need to put in place that will allow me to achieve that goal? So like daily exercise is a good idea.
Right. So you make sure that it's going to happen.
Yeah. So it's about focusing. What's the system to make the goal occur? Okay. So for me, daily exercise is a good idea. Eating less carbs is a very good idea.
Right.
And getting enough sleep is also actually an important part of it. Mm. So what I could say is my system is to get dressed in exercise clothes by 7 a.m. and to stand on the treadmill. And then measure and record my carb intake for the day, and then get to bed at 11 p.m., like climb into bed at 11 p.m. each night.
Right.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like much, but now what I do is I trust the system. So I forget about the goal of losing 10 kilos, not forget about it, but it's like not my main focus. And trust that the goal of weight loss is going to be achieved as long as I just stick to this system. So even if like one day I get on the treadmill in my exercise clothes and my knee's a bit sore and I don't feel like exercising and I climb off. And it's a birthday, so I have a pizza to celebrate. I still record how much carbs I've eaten. And basically I try to go to bed at, 11 o'clock, but climb into bed and I'm tossing and turning and maybe I only go to sleep at 1 a.m. But at the end of the day, I stuck to my system. I did all the things that my system required. And the truth is what we need to do is realize that as long as you stick to the system, your day is a success. that day that you did was a success, even though there were shortfalls.
And yes, because you can't achieve your goal every day of losing 10 kilos.
Exactly. And the reason it's so successful, because using systems, it taps into the power of the habit creation process. We're trying to create good habits.
Right.
And I suppose we can say the exact same thing in terms of, for Rosh Hashanah, you know, this approach of transforming your life by adopting far better habits. That's really what's at the core of our Rosh Hashanah introspection. So what we're trying to do is say, well, what are those bad habits that are holding me back? And what are the good habits that I can introduce this year that is going to like improve my life for the better? They're going to help me achieve my goals, and then trust these new good habits to make you a better person. Don't fixate so much on the goals, but trust the process.
Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely right. It just takes away an immense amount of pressure by removing that and just putting in the system that you then, as you say, can trust. And you just work within that system and ultimately will get to that goal.
Yeah, and just trust that you're going to get to the goal, but just trust the system, put the system in place and stick to it. And then another area, many years ago, when I was a student at WITS, I did electrical engineering. And I remember walking into a lecture hall and being perplexed by a poster on one of the walls with a single word on it. And the word was KISS, K-I-S-S. And I was really, really confused. Because, you know, I didn't know what the name of a heavy metal band was doing on the engineering lecture theater.
Right.
Because, and also what is confusing is the S's in KISS weren't the zigzag lightning bolts that I was expecting.
From the group.
From the group. And then, I soon learned that, you know, if we had to say that engineers have a single mantra, that they almost, every single engineer I've ever met, they have a single mantra, and that mantra is KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. And this was drummed into every engineer at every point in their training.
That's so interesting. So, because we always think of engineering as very complex and complicated, but actually the message is quite the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. So when I try and design complicated software systems, I intuitively know I've hit on the right solution when the design is elegant and simple. In fact, that one design element caters for a whole bunch of different scenarios. So the best solutions always turn out to be the simplest solution. And virtually every single engineer knows this, but they don't just know it intellectually. They know it in their gut. It's part of their intuition. And I think we actually all know this. So if you look at, the whole Apple BlackBerry saga that happened not so long ago. So BlackBerry had this miniature keyboard with lots and lots of buttons. And then Apple managed to produce a phone with one button. And in fact, even later on, it turned out that one button was too many buttons for Apple.
Because they charge per button, Jake.
Yeah, basically. for every button that they take away, they charge more.
Exactly. Yeah.
But if you look at it today, all smartphones have copied Apple and have no buttons. You know, simplicity is important. And it just it reminded me that my son always, you know, before his bar mitzvah, we learned a whole, a number of tractates of Pirkei Avot, in preparation for his bar mitzvah. And the one message stuck with him, and he kept on parroting it back to me, and, you know, he still does. And that is, the more possessions, the more worry. So his message to me was don't fixate on the material possessions. You know, you can having more clutter in your life actually doesn't help things. You can only really improve your life if you learn to focus on those aspects that really matter. So in many respects, I would say less is more. And if you think about it, this whole coronavirus pandemic, and what it's done over the last 6 months is to really turn, I suppose, this whole year into preparation for Rosh Hashanah. So we've all realized our everyday fears and our everyday pursuits really were fairly petty. And what it's made us do is realize that what really matters. And I would say our health really matters. You know, there are key people in our life that really matters, and the relationships that we have. You know, the relationships we have with ourselves, with others and with God, those are the things that really matter. So I suppose what we need to do is just realize that if we simplify our life, and just focus and strengthen those aspects that really matter, you know, everything gets a lot better. And that's, you know, adopt that whole concept of KISS. Keep it simple. Don't get too complicated.
Absolutely awesome. Jake Shepherd, a very, very interesting approach, and to lose a thinking like an engineer today, and adopting that, being able to adopt that for Rosh Hashanah if you're Jewish, and if you're not, still able to adopt that to reach your goals, setting the goals, but then establishing a system that you can be confident in and trust in. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us, as you do every second Friday, wishing you and your family a Shana Tova, a year of blessing, of bracha, and only good things.
Shana Tova.